Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am your host, Heather Hansen O'Neill, and today's quote is by Sheryl Sandberg. We need women at all levels, including the top, to change the dynamic, reshape the conversation, to make sure women's voices are heard and heeded, not overlooked and ignored. I love this quote, and I also love our guest today. You're going to be in for a treat. So we have Summer Babarek, and she is currently serving as the president and CEO of Hera Biotech, a women's health company focused on commercializing a non-surgical diagnostic for early detection of endometriosis. Prior to founding Hera, Summer spent 10 years at Targeted Technology Fund, the largest life science fund in San Antonio. Summer earned her MBA from Louisiana State University. She attended the University of Texas, San Antonio, where she graduated magna cum laude with a degree in entrepreneurship and was the winner of the prestigious CITE, which is for Center for Innovation, Technology, and Entrepreneurship, their annual student competition. She's amazing. You're going to love her. Let's bring her on now. Hello, Summer. How are you?
I am good. How are you today? Thank you so much for having me, by the way.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I can't wait to hear all you're going to share with everyone because I'm fascinated by what you're doing. And I think it's really, really important work. So how did you get interested in women's health?
So it's really interesting that you asked that because, you know, as a woman, you would think like, oh, well, that's probably something you've been interested in for selfish purposes, at least for the majority of your life. But I don't think it's ever really something that I considered specific or unique. It was just healthcare. And then I had my first daughter and I had a really long labor and delivery experience. And I remember being in the hospital and they couldn't keep my daughter on the monitor. And so they have these two monitors that sit on your abdomen and they kind of put them on with this elastic band. And by the end of my labor, they were rolling up hand towels and wedging them underneath this band, trying to mash the monitor down and like hold her in place. And as silly as this sounds, I went through a 26-hour labor. I ended up in a C-section. And one of the things I remember most is all the abrasions on the sides of my abdomen from the towel being rolled up and that elastic band like scratching me. And I thought, how is this possible? Like it's 2012. How is rolling up hand towel like the solution?
There has to be a better way.
Like, wait, that's actually what they were doing in there. What? You know, and then it just became like this echo that I couldn't stop thinking about, you know, went to the gynecologist for my follow-up and it was like, why do you use oven mitts on the stirrups? And they got like, how is that a solution that we're okay with? And so it was just so wild to me. So I invented a medical device around that first experience. And that just launched me into this, oh my gosh, it's okay that I'm not a doctor. It's okay that I don't have a PhD. It doesn't mean that I don't have a valuable opinion and I'm not capable of solving a problem that I experienced as a patient. So that was kind of when my love affair with it started. And I've been obsessed ever since.
That's fantastic. You know, I just love when I hear stories about people solving a problem. You know, we all are out there experiencing this, these same things and like, oh, somebody should solve this. Well, why can't it be you, right? So you solve this problem. I think that's phenomenal. So what made you decide to start Hera? Is that part of where this came from?
So no, not exactly. So from there, I spent my 10 years in the life science venture capital, and I worked in two of our fund companies. Those companies were exited, and the fund was fully invested. And I realized that we had never seen a women's health deal. We didn't hurt for deal flow. We were the largest. I mean, we didn't. And I thought, wait a minute, why is no one innovating in this space? I've been gone for 10 years. Like, wait a minute. Surely somebody's been doing something over there. And no, not much, not outside of oncology. Which is important. I'm not diminishing that. But I said, okay, well, I think this might be a good time for me to make that move and go back. And in fairness, it was actually my husband because I was like, I got to get another job and da da da. And there's all this stuff. No one's doing anything about it. And he goes, gosh, if only you knew how to start a company and like, I don't know, go for venture funding or something. And I was like, oh, yes, I do know how to do that. I actually
Sometimes
have 2 degrees in that kind of a thing. So,
it takes somebody else to shine the light, hold the mirror up for you, remind
yes,
you, right? Absolutely.
exactly. And so, I decided to found Hera, and I was looking at opportunities, technologies over in the therapeutic space. And I saw that really there wasn't very much innovation happening around disease modifying therapeutics, so drugs that actually treat the disease. Really, what was being developed was all around controlling the symptoms of some of these diseases. And I thought, well, I'm sure this is not the intention, but to me, it felt like, oh, if we can just shut her up, then we won't have to worry about it. Like, is that the solution that we're going with? Because that feels a lot like oven mitts on the stirrups to me. I just thought, okay, no. So, decided right then to dig in and saw, well, we don't really understand the progression of these diseases. And actually, we don't diagnose them very robustly either. So we decided, okay, me and the mouse in my pocket, we're going to start this women's health company. We're going to go after diagnostics first, which can sometimes be considered like the redheaded stepchild of life sciences, anyways. So it's like, okay, we're going into an underserved area of women's health. We're going to go in with a female founder, which is hugely underrepresented. And we're going to go after a field that's probably not the most loved of all the life sciences. So it's like, whose energy do we need to channel? We need to channel Hera, queen of the goddess, gods and goddesses. So that's when Hera was founded. We licensed our first technology from the University of Texas. And 4 years later, we have two assays in our pipeline. And I'm just very, very excited to be in this space.
That's amazing. Now, you do focus a lot on endometriosis. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you
Okay.
are. That's perfect. And I'm glad you mispronounced it because I can't tell you how many people, and for the first, especially 18 months, they were like, endo who? Endo
Yeah.
what? And I was like, yep, you got it. Endometriosis. So we've come a long way. It's gotten a lot of attention in the last 4 years, even since we started Hera. So I'm really excited to see that. So it is probably easily considered one of the largest unmet needs in women's health. It is our lead indication. So we have other indications that we want to go after in our pipeline, but this was our lead indication. So quite literally, what endometriosis means is endometrial tissue, which is the lining of the uterus, the tissue that lines the uterus, that tissue showing up in places of the body outside of the uterus. So it's endometrial tissue growing where it doesn't belong in other places of the body. It can happen anywhere from the diaphragm all the way down to the lower bowel. It affects between 10 and 30% of reproductive aged women, depending on what literature you cite. And it has no diagnosis outside of surgery. So it's a disease as prevalent as diabetes, and we can't diagnose it unless you undergo a surgery. Yes. So that is a huge, huge problem. It has a severe lack of funding. In gynecology, sometimes it's referred to as the non-cancer cancer because it's really these little tumor-like growths growing all over. It causes intense pain, extremely heavy menstrual cycles. It's the number one cause of female infertility. So huge, huge burden on not only the patient, but the healthcare system, the economy. And so we're really, really excited to be focusing on addressing a diagnostic non-surgically. And we're looking at specifically a molecular underpinning. So we're really looking at positive things. We're looking at genes that are present in the lining of the endometrium, or so in the lining of the uterus, that cause this invasive behavior.
And so is that what makes what you do different because you're looking at the cause of it? Is there anything else that you're doing that's very unique that can help people right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So with our diagnostic, instead of needing what we lovingly refer to as the Where's Waldo approach to diagnosis, which is going out and looking for the result of the problem, what we do is it takes it from surgery to an in-office procedure. So think Pap smear, same kind of setup. You're going to go in, undress from the waist down. The provider is going to take a sample of the lining of your endometrium. So like a Pap smear, but in the uterus, not up the cervix. Use the same device that you would use to deploy an IUD. And then we take that tissue and interrogate it for this gene misregulation that's in our diagnostic panel. So you don't have to go to surgery. This is an in-office procedure. We're in our second clinical trial, and we're hoping to be able to launch a diagnostic into the market in 12 months.
That is incredible. I mean, I'm putting some amazing energy out into the universe for you.
Thank
I
you.
think that I'm very, very hopeful for you. Are you considered a femtech company?
So yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's femtech is tricky, right? So we needed a word, and I think the word is fantastic, because it gave you language, right?
Right.
However, I sometimes think it gets weaponized against us in the sense that, oh, femtech, so you're an app that tracks a period, or you're an app that tracks fertility. And it's like, hang on, peeps. Femtech is broader than just fertility or period tracking. It's just supposed to be tech-enabled healthcare for women. And we absolutely have that component. We use AI and machine learning in our diagnostic to make our solutions, analyzable and scalable. So to that end, we are a femtech, but you're never going to find us in the app store. I always try to caveat it.
I gotcha. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Now, has it been difficult? You just mentioned it when we were talking about starting this with three pretty big, what some people might call strikes against doing it,
Right.
but you decided to do it anyway. Has the process been a little uphill for you or no?
It has been a slog.
Yeah, okay.
There are days when I have had that, what am I doing with my life? It's crazy, and it can get you down. So definitely it's been a lot harder than I think I even anticipated. And I'm a pretty analytical person. I'm not very emotional. That's just not me. I may or may not have been accused of being robotic, but I totally underestimated the emotional toll that it takes on you because you see it so clearly. So I see endo as a huge problem because I read the literature, because I talk to patients, because I know, because my sister had a full hysterectomy at 32, because that was the only answer to treat the pain. And she still has follow-on issues of that. My niece requires Toradol shots to go to class on her cycle. That's inexcusable. And so when you sit across the table from somebody with all of this data and all of these personal experiences that people have been willing to share with you, and you have an investor sitting on the other side that's like, yeah, this just isn't an area of interest for us. It's just maddening because
Throttle them.
because you can't say what you want to say, which is, oh, you don't like making money. That's weird.
You don't
What
want
do
to
you
help
mean?
people. What?
Yeah, crazy. Because 180 million women conservatively in the world have this. You're right. It's probably not as big a problem. Like, probably not worth your time. Like, that's just insane. And so, and then you get all of these unique frustration points, which is, we're a diagnostic company. So you'll go to a traditional fund that invests in diagnostics, and they're like, oh, we don't really invest in this space. I'm like, yes, you do. You're a diagnostics fund. And they're like, well, in the women's health space, this is new to us. There's all these women's health funds out there. Why don't you go talk to them? And I'm like, well, first of all, let's just break that apart a bit. We wouldn't have to have those funds if you were doing your job. But second of all, look at them. There's only five. They can't possibly do all the deals in women's health. Like, that's insane. And if you look at their portfolios, many of them are digital health companies that happen to focus on digital health companies that focus on women. So we're not a fit for them. We're a fit for you. You're just afraid of women's health. So it gets into this really uniquely frustrating, sometimes I refer to it as like a ritualistic mating dance that I'm like, no, you do it. No, you do it. No, it's like, wait, what are we doing?
Oh my goodness. I mean, do you have any ideas on what could potentially drive this change that is needed to help
Yeah.
fund these women's health issues that like what
I
exactly
have
what you're doing?
so many ideas.
Okay. Well,
I
let us
have so
know
many
so that
ideas.
we can get it out
Yeah.
there in the world.
Yeah. So I think, as we say in life science, I think it's an epigenetic problem. So more than one causes, and you have to address all the different sections in order to make the systemic change that you need. We need more funding directed at women's health. Recently there's been a lot of press around Joe Biden and Jill Biden's initiative with this 100 million ARPA-H funding. And it's a great step in the right direction. I do not want to diminish that at all. I also just want to point out the realities of the fact that there are companies out there that raise $100 million in pharma and in med device. So $100 million seems like a lot. But if we're actually talking about real change in the space, it's going to take a lot more than that, especially into multiple companies, right? So that's one piece of it. And they have very specific topics that they're covering. So if you don't fit into one of those topics or you're not selected for the wild card, which is where everybody else is going to be, then it's just a trickle effect, right? So we need a lot more funding on that side of things. Because I'm not, I mean, maybe your audience is aware of this, but women weren't even mandated to be included in clinical trials until 1993.
Till
You didn't have to include us.
1993.
You did not have to include women. And there is still standard language in clinical protocols that would exclude women. So women of childbearing potential. Okay, so what is that? 15 to 44. So as long as you're a woman, but you don't qualify from 15 to 44, you can be on the trial. Like, it just systemically excludes us. So every woman is operating in a healthcare system that was not built by women and it was not built for women. The go-to is 150-pound white male, and the only modifications that were made were you're a smaller version of that, so we'll just give you less of that drug. So we don't know how a lot of these things really react with the hormonal changes or just the body chemistry changes that we have. And so, it's a big thing. We've got to get more women into clinical trials. We've got to get, that research happening. We've got to get regulatory bodies to understand that when somebody is bringing forward an innovation in women's health, we don't have biobanks and data banks of tens and hundreds of thousands of patients because we haven't been collecting it for that long. And so them understanding that and modifying their process to accommodate those gaps is really important. And then we need more female founders because the more you see it, the more it becomes commonplace. My dear friend Nassim Sayani says, say all the words all the time. Talk about your health problems. Say those words. Say vagina, say breast, say labia, say ovary, all the things. Say menopause, like out loud in public, so that people start to hear it and it's not taboo. So,
Right, so
there's
like,
a lot of things.
right?
Oh
Oh
my gosh, she said tampon. What?
my
Okay. And I, you hear like comedians talk about it. And I'm like, but honestly, though, like, I think there was a Larry the Cable Guy where he's like, we're at the Tampax 500 and we got the Kotex car coming up. I'm like, where's the Kotex car? Like, we should have one, So it's kind of crazy, but I think we just need to make all of these topics more commonplace. We need to have candid conversations so that you don't feel like you can't talk about it with a healthcare provider or that it's taboo or it's not really, socially acceptable or that you're being rude, because otherwise you end up with these crazy things on your Instagram feed, like, oh, take these vitamins and your vagina will smell like pineapples. And I'm like, why? It shouldn't. I mean, if it does, you should probably go see a doctor. Like, ew.
Oh my goodness. You know what? It is about what we're doing here, right? We're opening the conversation.
Yes.
We
Yes.
need to have awareness, open conversations in order for things to drive forward. And
Right.
so,
And people shouldn't be afraid to have those conversations.
exactly. So you mentioned, Summer, that you tend to run more logical, and I'm going to second that for our listeners, because when we came on the call today, she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry if I'm a minute late because I got involved in a spreadsheet." I'm like, "You got involved in a spreadsheet?" I'm like, "Oh, you couldn't pay me to get that involved in a spreadsheet." No, I just think it's fantastic because we need you to be doing what you're doing so that we can make these changes. But now I'm going to ask you to get a little uncomfortable, right?
Okay.
Because the name of the show being From Fear to Fire, I like to kind of dive in and get a little mushy with. Is there anything that you've been afraid of? Any challenges that you've had to overcome, other than the ones we've mentioned already,
Right.
that you've learned a lesson from that maybe our listeners will be able to benefit from?
Yeah, I think so. I came from VC, so I have that perspective. And then now I'm on what we call the operator side. And because I don't have a PhD, because I don't have an MD, and a lot of founders in this space do, I have so much insecurity around that. And it's less now than it was when I started, because as I've learned, amazingly, they don't restrict who can read the clinical literature. They don't limit who can look at the data and analyze the data. And you can have conversations with really intelligent people in those spaces. And you can learn. Nobody limits who can learn, right? Just because I don't have a scientific advanced degree. So, but I do distinctly remember early on sitting, on these Zoom calls or, with investors and feeling like, they're not going to listen to anything I'm saying. They're not going to believe anything I'm saying. And we did get some of that. Well, I don't know where you're getting your numbers from. I'm like, oh, just the CDC and the World Health Organization, but I'm sure you've got better ones. So, you kind of have to just get over yourself. Like, you're the only one that's feeling insecure about it. And if somebody on the other side of the table is trying to take a jab at you for something silly like that, really, that's just, I know it sounds very mom-like, but that's just a reflection on them. Because what I've learned is so many of these, highly educated people, they're really hiding behind that degree. They're utilizing what they were capable of learning in a previous endeavor and just not having the opportunity or not taking the opportunity to learn more now. So I think it's really important. First of all, we need those people. I'm not docking everybody with an advanced scientific degree because they're brilliant. And so many of them, and I think it's like, if you find a quote unquote good doctor, it's the doctor who doesn't think they know everything. It's the doctor who wants to learn more, who recognizes, like, oh, you're having this experience. I've only read about this condition in a book. So tell me the experience that you're having with these symptoms so that I can broaden my understanding of not only the mechanisms of the disease, but the experience of the disease. So I feel like that's been a big learning of mine. It's like, don't be intimidated by the jerks with advanced degrees, because there's so many that aren't jerks. Like, just hang out with them.
But you know what? We can extend that across the board to anyone in
Oh
life.
yeah.
Just don't hang out with the jerks. That's
Right.
what we want.
Leave them to their own devices. As I tell my kids, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, they have to go home and be them, and you get to come home and be you. And isn't that a refreshing thing to think about?
I love that. Thank you, Summer. So, I am sure that there are people out there like, oh, I really want to learn more about this. How can I find out more? So this is the opportunity for you to share how people can either get a hold of you or find out more on your site or anything like that.
Sure. Yeah. So obviously we have our website, arabiotech.com. Also, Hera has all the social media presences. So LinkedIn and well, not Twitter, X and Instagram. So all of those things. If you want to find me, I am only on LinkedIn. I don't do social media. And so that's where you can find me. I know I can't. I just can't. I was memed like a year ago on Instagram when somebody did something with the hair thing, and I was like, oh wow, this is exactly why I don't do this. So Yes, I'm not on social media, but you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always willing to connect. I'm always excited to help somebody if they think they have endometriosis to connect with resources, to find physicians. So please don't hesitate to reach out. I get so many fun, this is going to sound weird, so many fun like LinkedIn messages like, hey, I have this issue. And I'm like, well, I'm not a doctor. I'm pretty clear about that, but I know about 10 doctors. So let me see if I can help you. So always happy to do that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And this whole thing just flew by, of course. So it's time for the final parting words of wisdom. So you've given us some great information about the whole process and about Hera and the benefits and all of that. But do you have anything that you're like dr you're drawn to make sure that the listeners leave with some final parting
Sure.
words?
Absolutely. So, I can't say this enough. I have three daughters, and one of the you were speaking about fears. One of the things that I fear is that I won't have made an impact so that their path might be easier. I think as women in society, a lot of times we get pitted against each other, or a lot of times because we have such a scarcity of resources offered to us, we become very competitive. That's what we're supposed to do. We're all female lions hunting, right? However, I have had such a great honor and privilege to have people reach out to me who need help, whether it's on the business side or whether it's from my background in VC, other female founders. And it has been an absolute honor and privilege and so fulfilling to have something to offer them and to be able to give them a leg up or step on my shoulder or let me boost you over into that tree over there because this tree isn't the one for you. And I can't express enough how fulfilling it will be if you are capable of gifting an experience that you have to somebody who needs that. So please do it and do it often. The more you do it, the better it gets. So I would just ask that everybody do that.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh, like-minded individuals here. I love that. So thank you, Summer. I really appreciate you coming on here and educating us and inspiring us. And listeners, if you love this, or if you know somebody out there who really needs to hear this message right now or needs to connect with Summer, then please share this show and leave comments, ask questions. We're all about giving you what you need. So we look forward to seeing you next week. And thank you again, Summer. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored to have been here.